In the last 12 months alone, breaches involving third-party networks have actually doubled. And the exploitation of software vulnerabilities, that's up 34%.
Which is just a massive, massive jump.
It really is. Welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking at why traditional cybersecurity is, frankly, failing, and how a completely different approach called Attack Surface Management, or ASM, is trying to keep modern networks alive in a hyper-connected world.
Right, because the old ways just aren't cutting it anymore.
Exactly. And whether you are a business leader signing off on huge IT budgets or, you know, just someone currently working from a laptop at a local coffee shop, your digital footprint is part of this exact battleground.
It really is. And, you know, that 34% jump in vulnerability exploitation we just mentioned, that doesn't happen in a vacuum.
Right.
It is the direct byproduct of the era we're living through. I mean, we are seeing this rapid, totally unprecedented digital transformation. Companies aren't just putting a few servers in a locked closet anymore.
Right. They're moving everything.
Yeah. They are migrating entire infrastructures to the cloud. They're plugging in countless software as a service tools. They are supporting hybrid workforces that log in from, well, 1,000 different zip codes.
Which is great for productivity, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. It drives massive productivity.
Yeah.
But structurally, every single new connection you create is a potential entry point for a cyber criminal. You are essentially adding more doors to a building, and attackers are just walking around rattling the doorknobs.
Okay, let's unpack this concept of the attack surface, because the way we used to think about protecting a network is completely obsolete.
Definitely.
It used to be that a corporate network was like a secure vault or a medieval castle. You have a thick stone wall, the perimeter firewall, and one heavy drawbridge. You put your guards at the drawbridge, check everyone's ID, and you're generally safe.
That was the standard model for a long time.
Right. But now it feels like that castle has decided to, I don't know, open 500 drive-through windows, add a skylight, a doggy door, and an attached greenhouse. And half the guards are working from their living rooms.
That analogy actually captures the hub-and-spoke reality of modern networks perfectly.
The hub-and-spoke model.
Yeah. So in the traditional setup, you had the central hub. That was your corporate network, right?
Mm-hmm.
The physical servers sitting behind locked doors, guarded by traditional perimeter security. But today, that hub is just a tiny fraction of the actual target.
Because of all the spokes.
Exactly. The spokes are everywhere, and they are extending infinitely outward.
And those spokes aren't just employee laptops, right? When we talk about an attack surface, what are we practically looking at here?
We are looking at cloud infrastructure. We are looking at web applications. And a massive piece of this is APIs, application programming interfaces.
Right.
If we use your drive-through window metaphor, APIs are those digital windows where your company's software automatically passes data back and forth with a third-party vendor software.
Which happens constantly in the background.
Constantly. And if those windows aren't built securely, anyone can just reach a hand in and take what they want. Then you also have IoT hardware. The Internet of Things.
Meaning everyday objects that suddenly have network access.
Right, exactly. It's the smart thermostat in the corporate boardroom or the connected security cameras in the parking lot. Those are computers, they run software, they connect to the internet, and honestly, they often have terrible built-in security.
Wow. So you add in mobile devices, every SaaS app your company uses, the networks of your suppliers.
Yeah, the attack surface encompasses literally every digital asset an organization owns or even connects to that could potentially be targeted.
So attack surface management, ASM, is this monumental task of discovering, inventorying, and constantly monitoring all of these spokes.
Right.
But here's the part that I think really resonates with anyone who works in a modern office. What about the spokes that the IT department doesn't even know exist?
Yeah, that's the real challenge.
Well, let me play devil's advocate for a second.
Me too.
Let's say I'm an employee. I'm not a hacker. I'm just trying to be productive. I have a massive video file I need to send a client, and the official corporate email won't let me attach it because it's too big.
It happens all the time.
Right. So I quickly use a free online file sharing app. Or I use an unauthorized AI transcription tool to summarize my meeting notes. I'm just trying to get my job done faster. If security teams crack down on that, don't they just become the department of no that ends up paralyzing the whole company?
What's fascinating here is that the attacker does not care about your intentions. You are just trying to be efficient, sure, but by bypassing the official IT channels, you are creating what the cybersecurity industry calls shadow IT.
Shadow IT, I love that term. It sounds like a covert espionage unit, but it's really just like Kevin and counting using a free PDF converter online.
That's usually exactly what it is. And Kevin's PDF converter creates a massive invisible blind spot.
Because IT can't see it.
Exactly.
Right.
Because the security team has no visibility into that free tool. They have no way to protect the data flowing through it. If that PDF converter company gets breached, your corporate data is suddenly in the hands of attackers.
And your security team won't even know it happened.
They have no idea. These hidden endpoints are the absolute perfect targets for what we call quiet data exfiltration.
Meaning the data is being siphoned out without tripping a single alarm.
Yes. Sensitive information, customer records, financial data, proprietary code is quietly extracted. The attackers often sell it on dark web marketplaces or they hold it for extortion.
And they aim for the shadow IT specifically.
Oh, they actively hunt for these unmonitored shadow IT connections because they don't attract attention. Traditional endpoint security tools are designed to monitor the known network. If a tool isn't registered on the official inventory, the security software isn't watching it.
Which makes sense, but it's terrifying.
It also provides a completely unmonitored backdoor to deploy ransomware across the broader corporate network.
The natural reaction for a lot of organizations is to just buy more security software. Like, oh, we have a blind spot, buy a new monitoring tool. But doing that without a unified strategy actually makes the situation worse, doesn't it?
It leads directly to alert fatigue. Imagine an IT team dealing with highly fragmented security tools, all trying to monitor an impossibly complex, partially invisible network.
Just screens full of red flashing light.
Exactly. The system starts generating thousands of uncoordinated notifications. It's the equivalent of a car alarm that goes off every single time a heavy truck drives by or the wind blows a bit too hard.
Eventually, people just tune it out. They assume every beep is a false alarm.
And that is when a genuine, critical threat gets completely lost in a sea of low-level noise. You have the data, but you have no context to understand what actually matters.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because the old way of doing things is clearly broken. If defending the castle walls fails because Shadow IT has basically dug a secret tunnel under the moat, we need a fundamental shift in perspective.
A total paradigm shift.
And that is what ASM really represents. Because traditional security relies on an inside-out approach. It's like a night watchman doing periodic rounds on the inside of the building, checking to see if a door is unlocked or a hallway looks suspicious.
Right.
But ASM flips that. It takes an outside-in view. It is continuously mapping what the attackers can actually see and reach from the public internet.
That outside-in perspective is the absolute core of the ASM paradigm. Traditional approaches are heavily reactive. They are designed to detect and respond to an incident only after the perimeter has already been breached.
Right, like after the fact.
Exactly. They rely on periodic vulnerability scans. You run a scan on Friday night, you get a report on Monday morning.
Going back to the night watchman, he walks the halls at 10 o'clock, and he isn't scheduled to walk them again until midnight. If an attacker breaks in at 10:15, they have nearly 2 hours of completely free rein before anyone even notices.
That's it, exactly. It's just a snapshot in time. And the modern internet moves way too fast for snapshots. Furthermore, traditional vulnerability management tends to treat all vulnerabilities equally, which feeds right back into that alert fatigue we discussed. But ASM shifts the entire model from reactive to proactive. Instead of waiting for a threat to materialize inside the network, ASM tools continuously, in real time, map the entire digital footprint from the outside. They don't wait for a scheduled scan. They evaluate changes the millisecond they happen.
There is a specific subset of this mentioned in the analysis called EASM External Attack Surface Management. How does that differ from general ASM?
So ASM is the holistic view of everything: internal systems, external systems, third parties. EASM focuses exclusively on the assets that are visible and accessible from the public internet.
Like what, exactly?
Think about your public-facing websites, exposed cloud servers, or DNS records.
Let's define that real quick, because a DNS record sounds abstract, but it's actually a huge vulnerability, right?
Yes, absolutely. PNS, the domain name system, is basically the phone book of the internet. It translates a web address you type into a browser into an IP address a computer can understand.
Okay.
But companies often create hundreds of temporary subdomains for marketing campaigns or testing environments, and then they just forget to take them down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So an attacker can scan public DNS records, find a forgotten, outdated testing server that hasn't been patched in 3 years, and use that as their front door. EASM is the literal outside-in view. It is using the exact same mapping techniques an attacker sitting halfway across the world would use to discover those forgotten doors.
Okay, so we have the mindset shift. We understand we need an outside-in, continuous, proactive approach. But practically speaking, how does an IT department actually build this? You cannot just buy a magical ASM box, plug it in, and solve the problem.
No.
It requires a system of mechanics working together, and looking at the four pillars of ASM, risk prioritization really stands out as the linchpin. Because if you just turn on the scanner that finds every single exposed asset, you haven't solved alert fatigue, you've just automated it.
Exactly. You've just created a bigger spreadsheet of problems you can't possibly fix. The four pillars of an effective ASM strategy have to operate in tandem. The first pillar is asset discovery and visibility. You cannot protect what you cannot see.
And how is that actually done? I mean, it's not someone manually writing down IP addresses.
Not at all. It relies on automated systems that are constantly analyzing network traffic, scanning IP ranges, and tracking communication handshakes between devices.
So it's constantly watching.
It is the continuous, real-time identification of every single device, application, and service connecting to the network, whether it's on-premises or in the cloud. The moment Kevin logs into that free PDF converter, the system needs to see that new outbound connection.
Which brings us to the second pillar, risk prioritization.
Right. Once you discover an asset, you have to know if it actually matters.
Hmm?
Not all vulnerabilities pose the same threat. Let's say the system finds two flaws. One is on an isolated public-facing marketing blog that contains zero sensitive data.
Okay.
The other is an unpatched flaw in the main financial database.
Mm-hmm.
Traditional security might flag both as high severity based purely on the technical nature of the software bug.
Which leaves the IT team guessing which one to fix first.
Right. Effective ASM solves this by scoring the risk based on context. It correlates the vulnerability with live threat intelligence. If it sees that hackers on the dark web are actively exploiting the bug on the financial database today, it shoots that to red alert status.
That makes total sense.
It tells the team exactly what to tackle first to prevent an actual catastrophe.
The third pillar is continuous monitoring. We've touched on this with the transition away from the snapshot in time approach, but the mechanism here is crucial. It's about spotting behavioral changes.
It is about spotting configuration changes instantly. If a developer accidentally changes a cloud storage bucket from private to public, continuous monitoring flags that exposure the second the code is pushed. Not during an audit 3 months later.
And that leads to the fourth pillar, attack surface reduction. Now, this sounds great in theory, shrink the target, but I have to ask, how do you actively reduce the attack surface without accidentally severing access to a tool an entire department relies on? You can't just go around unplugging things.
It requires immense precision, which is why the first three pillars have to be solid first. You only reduce what you fully understand. Reduction means retiring legacy systems that the visibility tools confirm haven't been used in a year.
So cleaning house.
Right. It means closing network ports that have no business being open to the public internet. But the most important mechanism for reduction is enforcing least privilege access.
Meaning I only get the keys to the rooms I actually work in.
Exactly. If you work in marketing, your digital credentials should not grant you access to the HR payroll servers. By strictly limiting what every employee and what every third-party vendor can access, you drastically shrink the blast radius.
Oh, I see.
If a marketing employee's laptop gets compromised, the attacker is trapped in the marketing segment of the network. They can't move laterally to steal the financial data.
But think about the sheer scale of what we are discussing.
Mm.
Processing real-time data across hundreds of thousands of endpoints, continuously scoring risk against live global threat intelligence, enforcing least privilege access second by second. I mean, that requires a volume of computing power and analysis that human beings simply cannot achieve.
It's beyond human scale now.
Which brings us to the future of ASM and the incredibly complex role of artificial intelligence. So what does this all mean for the people actually fighting this battle? We have this fascinating paradox where AI is being championed as the ultimate defense, while simultaneously becoming a massive new vulnerability.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the math of modern networks dictates that manual human response is becoming unsustainable. The sheer speed and volume of automated cyber attacks mean human analysts simply cannot keep up.
They're just outpaced.
Completely. Artificial intelligence is no longer a luxury. It is becoming the central engine of ASM. AI will drive threat detection because it can ingest mountains of network logs, identify subtle patterns, and flag anomalous behavior across vast environments in fractions of a second.
But it's not just flagging the threats anymore. Uh-huh. The future relies on automated remediation.
Yes. Next generation ASM won't just send an alert saying, hey, a cloud port was just exposed. The AI will automatically rewrite the configuration to close the port.
Wow.
If an employee's account suddenly starts downloading gigabytes of proprietary data at 2 a.m, the AI won't wait for a security analyst to wake up. It will instantly revoke that account's access tokens, isolate the endpoint from the network, and then send an alert.
So it takes defensive action at machine speed.
Exactly.
But, and this is a massive caveat, as organizations deploy more of these AI agents, those AI tools themselves become part of the attack surface.
They do. And it's a huge risk. An AI defense agent is, at its core, a piece of software. It has its own code base, it relies on API integrations to communicate with your servers, and to do its job, it requires deep, privileged access to your most sensitive data.
It's the ultimate set of keys to the kingdom.
Exactly. If an attacker can find a vulnerability in the AI defense agent itself, they don't need to break into the individual servers. They can just hijack the AI and command it to open the doors. Therefore, you have to continuously monitor the AI that is continuously monitoring your network.
That is wild.
The tools themselves must be rigorously managed within the ASM strategy, just like any other endpoint.
It's a dizzying loop. The technology we rely on to secure the network expands the network, which requires more automated technology to secure it. Bringing this all back to you, the listener, whether you are a business leader making high-level IT decision, a remote worker logging into a spreadsheet from your kitchen table, or just someone trying to navigate a world where your refrigerator is quietly talking to a server in another country.
Which happens more than you'd think.
Oh, absolutely. But understanding your digital footprint is the absolute first step to securing it. The fundamental truth of attack surface management is simple. You cannot protect what you cannot see.
And that reality, the absolute necessity of outside invisibility, leads to a deeply profound realization about where the industry is heading. We talked about how ASM tools continuously map vulnerabilities from the outside, looking at the network exactly as an attacker would see it.
Right.
That means both the defenders and the cyber criminals are utilizing the exact same automated AI-driven mapping techniques. They're running the exact same algorithms to rattle the exact same digital doorknobs.
Oh, wow.
It raises a chilling question for the future of digital defense. We are no longer looking at a chess match between a human hacker and a human security guard. We are looking at a scenario where the winner is simply whoever's AI can map the network and exploit an exposed internet port, or map the network and patch that exact same port just 1 millisecond faster than the other.